Moncrief on News Talk.
Jonathan DeBurka Butler is here once again to bring us stories from other parts of the planet. Afternoon, Jonathan.
Sean, how are you getting on?
Right, the Kenya we're going to go to first, and this is about a deliberately set fire at a school.
It looks like it. So this happened in the early hours of last Thursday morning at the Utumishi Girls Academy in a place called Gilgil, right? So this is a town. It's about 120 kilometres northwest of Nairobi. It's only a small population of about 18,000 people. But obviously, this particular girls' academy was popular enough in that it's a boarding school. And obviously, has lots of girls staying at it. And on the night of the fire, or in the early morning when the fire happened, it seems that the fire tore through the upper floor of a dormitory, okay, where 135 bunk beds were. So if you imagine bunk beds, there's at least two sleeping in that, okay? So you've got, what, 270 people in there? So a significant amount of people. Now, it turns out that 16 children died, 16 of the students died. Many more were injured. There was about 80 pupils who were injured altogether. Most of them, thankfully, have been treated and discharged from hospital. About seven remain seriously injured. Some of those injuries were from people who had to jump out of the first floor and obviously landed awkwardly. But hopefully they'll survive. Initially, of course, they looked at it and they said, oh, well, you know, tragic accident. Mm-hmm. But it appears that it wasn't. And they originally looked at about 30 students who were recalled to the school by detectives. And now they've whittled it down to 8 students who have been arrested after their alleged involvement in the arson attack. We don't know at this stage exactly what exactly what they did, but they are what the police are calling persons of interest in connection with planning and execution of the fire. So it's a very sort of sordid tale, if you like, and a very sad one. And not the first time this has happened in Kenya.
Well, that's a curious thing then. This may be, you know, one could say, assume this is a prank that went horribly wrong or something, but there seems to be is it too much to say a pattern of this? To do with the way these schools are organized.
Yeah, there's certainly in the articles that I had a look at, there was they intimated, if that's the right word, that it could be something to do with unhappiness of the students because there's too much discipline and the conditions that they're living in aren't great. Mm. What's interesting here is that, as we said, it's not the first time it happened. There was an incident 2 years ago where 21 people were killed in a school not far away from here. And I think there's been others in the last 10 or 15 years. Interestingly enough, the Minister for Education got involved fairly quickly and sort of said that there was questions to be answered by the management here. So he's dissolved the board and he's calling for the head teacher to have action taken against him or her. I'm not sure of the gender. And he's saying that basically there was too many people in the dormitory and that one of the doors was closed, one of the fire doors was locked.
Oh, my word.
Which is obviously, you know, we know. From our own history, how that can end. It remains to be seen what will happen, but tragic event.
Yeah. Right, Germany we're going to go to next, where a woman's been sentenced to 13 years in prison, but she was a member of the Baader-Meinhof gang that people will remember. Almost had a kind of whiff of romanticism to it back in the day.
This was the Red Army faction, they were officially called. The Baader-Meinhof side of it came from the media, I think, who named it after two of their founders. But you're right, it was and a lot of romantic sort of films have been made of it since that time. I suppose they were operating really in the late 1970s was their heyday, if you want to call it that. But officially they were going from 1970 until they disbanded in 1998, I think it was. So for a long time. And this woman, Daniela Kleta, she's 67. And she was involved in what's called the third generation of the Baader-Meinhof gang. So operating from around about 1982 until 1998, around about that time. Now, she was on the run for the guts of 30 years. Okay, but she was actually living, or at least she was caught in the middle of Berlin. She was caught in a flat in Berlin in 2024, living under assumed name. She was calling herself Claudia. She had a foreign passport. And she was discovered, initially at least, by an investigative journalist who used AI facial recognition software, and he matched an image from an old wanted poster to recent pictures from the internet. Now, I don't know where he got the inkling or the tip off that this woman, Claudia, as she was going around as, might have been Daniela Cleta. I don't know how he started it, but anyway, in the end, he put these pictures together and it became an investigation, not only in journalism, but by the police, who raided the flat in 2024, and they found weapons, ammunition, a replica rocket-propelled grenade, wigs, false IDs, gold, and almost a quarter of €1 million in cash.
My word.
Now, this was because she was involved in a spate of robberies between 1999 and 2016, the last of which the gang got away with a reported €1.4 million. So presumably some of that cut is the cash that was found in her apartment. So a remarkable woman in many ways, but she's been found guilty. She was found guilty on Wednesday of aggravated robbery and violating weapons laws over a 17-year period. And as you said, she's going to be sent to prison for 13 years.
Yeah, and but the Red Army faction, as the name implied, was supposed to, you know, smash capitalism, and this woman's line, you know, has a quarter of €1 million in cash lying around her apartment. She wasn't distributing it to people who needed it then.
It's a good point. When it disbanded, it appears that this faction, shall we say, of the RAF continued, right? So there was three of them. They're still looking for two other members of this particular gang. So it didn't really continue on its philosophy, shall we say, on its philosophical journey or political journey. It just went around, they went around robbing the place.
Yes.
Yeah. So in fact, she is not being convicted for being a member of the RAF, okay? Because actually there's a statute of limitations around that, so she can't be. But they are looking to see if they can prosecute her for other crimes that were committed earlier than these robberies when she was a member of the RAF. But not because of her membership, but because of the crimes, if that makes sense.
Yes, indeed, yeah. If they can connect her to those crimes.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. So they're looking at that in Frankfurt at the moment. So she could be going to prison for a lot longer than 13 years.
Oh, my word, right. Okay, Australia we're going to go to now. And explain that this is part of the story, at least, is turning religions into video games, or treating a religion like it's a video game.
Yeah, something like that. To that effect, I wouldn't say the religion necessarily, but the church. Right, it seems to be targeting the Church of Scientology.
Okay.
And these are called speedrunners, apparently. Right, so these are gangs of I don't like calling them gangs, but I suppose you have to call them that. They're gangs or crews, shall we say, of BMX. Bike riders, right?
Okay.
You go around the place and they normally do tricks and stuff like that, right? So there's been this phenomenon and it's been filmed in various cities around the world, London, Edinburgh, New York, Vancouver, and now Brisbane. And what they do is they basically gather at a church of Scientology and they try and get into the church on their bikes and get around it as quickly as they can for as long as they can before they're stopped by security.
Okay.
And it's kind of like a real-life computer game, right? Mm. That's what they're doing. And the idea then is to upload the footage onto TikTok or Instagram or whatever and then get as many likes and shares as you can, and that's how you win, okay?
Okay, all right,
so
I see.
This
yeah.
particular group calling themselves the Ween Crew. I don't know if they're named after the band. Are you aware of the band Ween?
Yeah,
okay. I don't know if they're named after that, but kudos to them if they are. They decided that they were going to go to a church in Brisbane, Church of Scientology, but when they got there, the doors were locked. So obviously there had been some sort of a tip-off, or perhaps the fact that 200 of them had gathered was a bit of a giveaway.
Yeah.
So they turned around and they found the police were there waiting for them, and rather than just engaging with them, they said, okay, well, we'll use these guys as the computer game instead. So they started to give the police the runaround. And one individual, a young man by the name of Zeppelin Witheridge.
What a name.
Yeah, a mad name. Decided to go up on the police car and use it as a BMX ramp. Now, he wasn't caught or arrested at the time, but obviously he had to upload it onto TikTok and he was caught. And now he's up in court. He was up in court there, charged with being a public nuisance, driving a particular vehicle without due care, and failure to wear a helmet while riding a bike. So, so those are the charges.
He's not going to be sharing a cell with any members of the Red Army faction then, one assumes.
I don't think
Is it explained why they do just this only to Scientology churches?
No, and that's a very irritating part of the story that I can't answer for you, I'm afraid.
Yes,
I mean,
okay.
I'm irritated by the fact that I can't answer it for you, sorry. I don't know why they're targeting them specifically, but they're not happy about it, as you can imagine. The Church of Scientology is saying that the behaviour is organised trespass and harassment, and they've said they've caused damage and even minor injuries to staff.
Okay, all right. Well, because as with many online phenomenons, there's no explanation, really.
Yeah.
The Los Angeles we're going to next, where Patagonia is suing a drag queen. Why?
Because she's called Patagonia, so that's Patty.
And people would easily mix up the two things.
Well,
really, you know,
your
hiking jacket and a drag queen.
Well,
yes.
the thing about Patagonia, which is spelled, by the way, P-A-T-T-I-E, and then there's a surname Gonia, which is G-O-N-I-A, right? Is that she has nearly 2 million followers on Instagram, right? And she's also, not only is she an excellent drag queen with a very impressive moustache, right?
Okay.
Very impressive red moustache. It's a beautiful thing. But she's also an activist in that space.
Okay.
She's an environmentalist, right? So she goes on hikes, for example, right? She's got a famous annual hike where she does a 100-mile hike in drag. Now, I don't know if they use
IEs
for that, but anyway, they've raised lots of money doing that, right? So the weird thing about this is that they share an awful lot of the same values, these two entities with the similar name. The problem seems to have come about when Patagonia, the drag queen, tried to apply for trademark, right? And Patagonia said, hang on a minute.
Okay.
You're no longer just a persona trying to raise money and your own profile, which we're kind of okay with. And they have, I believe, or I get a sense, they've had some dealings with each other in the past. They kind of tolerate each other. But they've said, no, if you're going in there looking for a trademark, that means you're going to be making... you're going to be making stuff which you're going to be selling under the name Patagonia,
right?
And we're just not going to go for that. I'd have a little bit of sympathy for them in that, I have to say.
Yeah.
Now the latest update on that is that she has been pleading with them to try and drop the case, right? And she's sort of saying, look, this isn't about the copyright infringement. This is about the erasure of my name and my community. And just the other day on Instagram, she actually said, okay, what I'll do is, if it's genuinely about the trademark, what I'll do is I'll drop the application if you drop the case.
Okay.
So it remains to be seen what'll happen, but that's where it stands at the moment. I have a funny feeling Patagonia might actually go with that, because it'll look pretty bad for them if they don't.
And if they're suing her, like, are they looking for gazillions in damages from
I imagine they are. I imagine they are. You know, they'll be... Or are they indeed? I think they might be just looking for a nominal fee of $1, a kind of... Taylor Swift type thing that they're looking for. But it's to make the point, you know, don't come near our brand.
They can kiss and make up. Now, as you were telling us before, there were presidential elections coming in Colombia. So where are we with those?
Yeah, so as I mentioned last week at the end of the slot, there was presidential elections in Colombia, right? Cut a long story short, there was three major candidates. Okay, so there was one who at the time was the favourite, Ivan Cepeda, right? So he was being endorsed by the current president, Donald Trump's bestie, Gustavo Petro. They're not, my sarcasm didn't land very well there. Gustavo Petro, who'd be on the left of the political spectrum, right? And he was expected to come first, but he didn't. He came in with 41%, so 9% short of the 50% that he needed. But ahead of him came in a right-wing candidate called Abelardo de la Espria on 43.7%. Now, neither of them have hit the 50%, so it needs to go to a runoff, okay? And that'll happen on June 21st. There was a third candidate who we thought was in the mix, a woman by the name of Paloma Valencia, but she only managed to get 7% of the vote. But critically, she has now endorsed the right-wing candidate, Abelardo de Espria, who would be a big fan of Trump. He's advocating that the US get more involved in security in Colombia, okay? He wouldn't have had a problem with, Trump bombing those boats off the coast of Venezuela. He's also a big fan of a man that we mention an awful lot of on this slot, which is Nayib Bukele. He wants to build 10 super prisons in the Colombian jungle and basically throw everybody from the, you know, ex-FARC militants that aren't playing ball to the narco terrorists, as he would call them. So, you know, he's got the baseball cap, he's got the bravado and all the rubbish that an awful lot of these right wing sort of guys come out with.
Isn't it amazing that Trump has a kind of an influence in every election in the Americas now?
Yeah. But what's interesting here, he didn't seem to endorse anybody in this election. Whether he forgot about it or whatever, I don't know.
Probably busy.
Probably very busy. But he didn't endorse anybody in this, which is interesting. I wonder, is he going to wait until the actual runoff on June 21st? Or maybe he's been told not to. Who knows?
Yeah. So do they poll a lot in Colombia? Would the indications be that this right-wing candidate is probably going to come out on top at this point?
No, the polls were suggesting that Cepeda, the left-wing senator, was going to win or was going to top this round. In the next round, I'm not 100% sure how it's going to go, to be honest with you. Yeah. I haven't seen any polls yet, I've got to be honest, for the next round.
Polls, it seems kind of wrong. Yeah. Not for the first time, I suppose. Right, so what should we look out for over the next week or so?
Yeah, Tuesday and Thursday of next week, there's strikes again on the London Underground from staff involved in the RMT union, which reminds me actually that Mick Lynch is actually coming over here for on Saturday for a thing called the Robert Tressel Festival, which is in the RDS. Little plug there for them. Saturday then, June the 6th, Pope Leo begins his visit to Spain. And then on Sunday, there's a presidential runoff in Peru, which, if it's as interesting as the one in Colombia, we might have a look at as well.
Okay, good stuff. Jonathan, cheers, thanks a million as ever. Jonathan DeBurca Butler there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.